Blog Talk Radio.
Isn't that something? Good evening. Good to have you with us tonight for another in the series of Establishing Your Faith.
Good evening.
Isn't that something? Well, it'll be all right, I guess. Guess it'll have to be all right. I got one of them updates that you look at, you're like, what it is doing. But it'll be all right. Welcome to all of you that's on Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, and all of our friends that are Zooming with us tonight. We welcome you, and we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it will be with you all. Amen. That's interesting. We're going to have a good time tonight, and I hope, and not wishy-wishy hope, I hope, earnest expectation, and know that our prayers that God was with you all day, he was with you. The angels of the Lord surround you and protect you and keep you safe in all of your ways. We're going to have a great time together tonight studying God's holy word. Very, very, very specifically powerful message. Awake to righteousness. That solves the sin question. Awake to righteousness. That solves the sin question. And we're going to be on this probably all week long. But we need to lay a really good foundation, and we need to use the whole Bible and see exactly what God our Father says. Inside of my heart and mind, there's no question about sin. I got some technology stuff that's just happening here in front of your eyes, and you're like, wow, what's that? Right. There's no question about it, because we've just read the complete Old Testament. And if you just follow that read the word that we just did all the way through the Old Testament and just give diligence to it, which is just reading the Bible, by the time you get to the last chapter of the book of Malachi, you won't have any question about what God thinks about sin and whether or not you and I should keep living in it once we're born again. It really, once you see what the Bible actually says, you'll realize how ridiculous it is for a pastor to stand up in a pulpit and tell you that you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. It's just ridiculous. Because sent Jesus to this earth, and he had to suffer the most brutal, cruel, destructive, humiliating death there is. And why would Father put him through all that? Why would your Father allow that to happen to him if he didn't have enough power to get you free from sin? And so that's what we're going to be dealing with tonight. I have said to you over and over that you will not have any misunderstanding of the doctrines of the Bible if you will just give yourself to the study of specific topics. So what does that mean? That means if you want to know about sin, open up your Bible app and begin to study every verse that has the word sin in it. It's not a difficult task at all. It's just a difficult task. You read every verse in the New Testament that deals with sin, and then you know exactly what sin is. And so we're going to do that, and then we're going to read all the verses on righteousness, and we're going to just lay this out. Now, what's going to happen in this is our heart is going to be revealed. And we're going to come to an understanding of how much we've been discipled or how much we have a lack of discipleship. Because that's really what it comes down to, is have you truly been discipled, or did you just go to a church? Because if you're discipled by the word of God, you will believe the truth. Because in the day we live, you don't have to, there's no misunderstanding this. And I think it's amazing. I've been studying this all afternoon and throughout the last, 5 days or whatever. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who's with us every minute of the day. We want to welcome you. Thank you to all of you that are streaming with us or from around the world. I want to say this again to you tonight. Make sure, please, make sure that you are connected to our different platforms, because no matter what anybody does, you want to be able to be connected to us in one way or another. And so our Blog Talk Radio channel, we want you to, those of you that's on YouTube, learn how to get in contact with that. I've put a link over there on YouTube for you tonight. I encourage you to, seriously, figure this out, because you never know when you're going to need it, because that's just the way technology is today. If it doesn't work on YouTube, then come over here to Blog Talk Radio. And they better not, Zoom better always work, because I'm paying for this one. Very glad to pay for it. It's an investment that is a very, very good investment. And it's been, since we started using it a year ago, this has been a great year, and the ability to have videos and everything up and put up teachings and maps and all that, it opened up so much more for us that I know you will enjoy as you learn how to use it. Now, share this program tonight with all of your family and friends. And remember to tell them that they can skip the intro, because I'll put a timestamp in right where I start the message. That way you can be able to just go right to the comments on YouTube, click on that timestamp, and it'll take you right to the beginning of the message. We get through all the preliminaries, the hellos, and anything that God's given us as an instruction, or just welcoming our friends and people from around the world. We're glad to have you with us. Sister Sunday, how you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Did we have sound over there?
Yeah, you had sound. You were good.
All right, that's cool.
I just thought I'd pop in because I'll probably bounce back up.
All right. Well, it's good to have you with us tonight.
Thank you.
As good it is every night, this is going to be a great, great, great study all week long. So many people are going to become so much freer. That's a good word, in their understanding of God and his righteousness and what he's done for us and who you are in God. This is gonna liberate you. And I can see where we're going with it, and I'm excited about all of us getting there together. So make sure you stay connected, everybody, and are a part of it. Now, for those of you from around the world, I would really love to have you send us a picture of you. For those of you that are right here on the program every night, I honestly don't have a picture of you while you're sitting there doing your program. So find a way to take a selfie and send it to us so we can put it up on a board back here behind us and have a partner board for all of you who are a part of the program. I think it would be awesome to have all 1,191 of you's pictures on a board back there that signed into YouTube last month. I think that would be an awesome thing. And would be a blessing to you. Then we would have your picture. We would lay hands on that picture and pray for you on a daily basis. We pray for you now with nothing in front of us. But it's so much more amazing to be able to lay your hand on it as a point of contact and say, in the name of Jesus, we call these people blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And that's every one of you. And so thank God for that. Sister Sunday, have you heard any more about that abortion bill in Michigan?
No, I've read up on a little bit of it, but it wasn't enough. You know, it's just they were just talking about it, what the proposals were.
Yeah.
And, but I certainly, there's three of them that I'm voting no on automatically.
Three of them?
Yeah, there's three there. And they're, you know, it's just like, I guess they've got you were saying that they had one coming up in the House or the Senate yet? They were going to vote on it? Or we have to vote on it?
Yeah, it's actually on the ballot. It's actually on the ballot.
Oh.
It's I believe it's an amendment.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
Yeah, and the reality of that is, I keep saying I'm going to call Jeff, Pastor Jeff, in Lansing, and I have failed to do that because he said the wording of it's very deceptive. And that's what we got to help people realize is the one that they're wanting you to vote no on, you better vote yes. And if they're wanting you to vote yes on it, you better vote no.
Yeah, now, that's the ones they're talking about.
Now, that might not make sense to you, but they are twisting it on purpose so that people will vote for the bad law. And hey, your vote counted.
Well, the sad thing about that, I'm going to be fasting that day when I go to vote and praying for discernment.
Amen.
Well, I read all that stuff. You know, I do. I sit and read it. Chris does too. We sit and read the whole thing. So I'll make her aware of it.
Amen. Well, and so if you find any of that, you know, that's just for Michigan. There's 50 states in the United States, but
yeah.
I know we got a bunch of people from Michigan here, so they're wanting to make this an example for the whole nation, and we're going to say, no, Michigan is the hand of God, not the withered up hand of Satan.
Right.
It's the hand where God Almighty chooses to work on this earth, and so glory be to God. Now,
you'll never guess what we had for dinner tonight. Homemade vegetable beef soup.
Hallelujah.
With barley and noodles.
Hallelujah.
And I'll throw a few potatoes in there, you know. Green beans, a whole enchiladas in there. Everything but the kitchen sink.
Everything.
It was really good. Sophie ate like a little anchor tonight.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, she did. She ate good tonight.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That.
We're going to have some soup here one of these days. That guy gave us that 20-pound head of cabbage. The thing was huge, man. It's tall.
I know. I seen it. It looked like Jolly Green Giant.
It's tall as the coffee maker. It's like
it's huge.
It's huge, and it's good too. It's delicious.
Well, when I asked God to bless the farmers, you know, really good crop this year. Now I do. I pray for them because they supply food for us.
Yeah.
All those who came, you know.
That this guy that gave me that head of lettuce or cabbage there, he said that he had one potato plant, one hill of potatoes that produced 20 pounds in one hill.
Oh, my Lord. What a blessing.
So North Dakota's got some fertile soil. If you're looking for a good place to plant your garden, come to North Dakota.
Really? My girlfriend, they planted a garden this year. They didn't do too well. You know, it's just, we had a weird spring.
Yeah.
You know, and when it kept getting chilly, then it'd get warm, and then we had all that rain, and it just, like, drowned the cucumbers. But her neighbor across the street from had a beautiful garden.
Isn't that
so? She'd go over there and buy.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Well, you just have some of those people that it don't matter. Their garden's going to look amazing no matter what.
Oh, I know.
Because they just have that green thumbness. It's a green thumbness, no matter what.
My dad was like that. Could plant anything.
Well, all right. We got a bunch of verses tonight, so I want us to get started. And you're gonna enjoy tonight. You're gonna enjoy tonight. If you are a Bible student and you love studying the Bible and you want to know the truth so that the truth can set you free, you're going to enjoy this study tonight. Well, isn't that something? It's all right. It's just technology. Here we go. Almost there. Let's start with our opening prayer tonight. Share the screen here. There we go. All right, make this prayer with me this evening. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen and amen. Now let's say the theme of the year together. This is what God spoke to me at the beginning of the year of what he wants to do in our midst this year. 2022, I am rewarding you. I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. Revelation 22, 1, or 12 through 14. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. And now, pray this with me. We fulfill the Great Commission today, and Jesus speaks to us saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I am telling you, lo, I am with you all the way to the end of the world. God bless the nations of the world to hear the word of faith. We bless the believers in these nations who are partners with us. The United States of America, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, Niger, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tunisia, Oman, New Zealand, Australia, Malaysia, Singapore, Philippines, Japan, Vietnam, South Korea, Samoan Islands, Thailand, India, Pakistan, Iran, Iraq, United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, Belgium, France, Portugal, Germany, Switzerland, Hungary, Finland, Netherlands, Sweden, Estonia, Serbia, Czech Republic, Ukraine, Poland, Russia, China, New Guinea, and all the nations of the world. We add United Arab Emirates, and we add Uganda, and we add Kazakhstan. God bless all of you. We're glad to have you with us today in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, as Jesus instructs us, we agree together for victory. Say it with me. Go, say it right out loud like you do. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Thank you, Jesus. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. speak it boldly. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. I love these verses. That's why we say them every time we come here, because it helps us to be able to reach out and help the body of Christ to be established around the world. Now, we're not called to reach the whole world, every single person, at this point in our ministry. But what we say is to everyone around the world who has reached out to receive from the things of God, we welcome you and we bless you. Now, I got to back up here slide, because their wonderful last update just changed things. That's all. Oh, don't freak out. There we go. The fivefold ministry in the body. Jesus himself is the one who gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God bless the fivefold ministry with boldness today in Jesus' name, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Man, God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Say that last line with me again. That I may be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, I just love this. So that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Father, expose the wicked, deceitful plotting by false shepherds and wolves in sheep's clothing. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we all grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, wow, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I bring my gift and my supply to this body of believers today. Use me to be a blessing to others in Jesus' mighty name. We join the voices of every great prayer warrior, patriot warrior, passionate patriot of this great nation And we declare, God bless America. We thank you, Father, for your many abundant blessings in and on this nation. As we the people, united we stand. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, I want you to think about this. There's a lot of patriots tonight that are having rallies and patriotic events and political events tonight, and they're gathering signatures on petitions. This is like one of the busiest political months of any year, any voting year, because and so much is hanging in the balance in the next 30 days in the United States of America. So, Father, right now, we bless all of those tonight. We bless them. And we declare that revelation knowledge comes to them as they stand there and they look at people. And that knowledge that comes to them is the revelation that our declaration said, we hold these truths, and they need to get to the truth. Father, may every great American be able to hear the voices of the people standing in front of them, every common American, and look at them and know whether they're telling the truth or they're just telling a big lie. We speak it now in Jesus' name. Bless every event tonight with safety, with peace, and with the truth. May people begin to say, we got to get righteousness back in this nation. Start it with prayer and end it with prayer, no matter what people say. Say the Pledge of Allegiance. Sing the national anthem. May our enemies run in fear and destroy each other because they refuse to do what is right. Thank you, Father. Now the Patriot Prayer of Dedication. Father, help us the living to be dedicated to the unfinished work which these fought for and so nobly advanced. Help us be dedicated to the great task that remains before us, that from these honored fallen, we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave that last full measure of devotion. We highly resolve that these shall not have fallen in vain. We declare this nation under God is experiencing a new birth of freedom right here, right now, today. We declare this government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from this earth. Long will our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us, Lord, by thy great might, great God, our King. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. And now, I want to pray one more prayer here. Father, in the name of Jesus, may every wicked judge and politician be exposed for what they truly are. May they have to come to their senses and realize that they have gone the wrong way. And may the perversion that's behind all these people be made public for everyone to see, so that there will be no question. And people will be able to say, I'm not a part of that in any way. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to have anything to do with the people. And in the mighty name of Jesus, may this election turn so severely toward you in honor of the prayers of the saints around this nation and the world, that our enemy stands in awe. And not only do many of them turn to you, but the ones that are reprobate, may they run and hide because of our righteousness, because we are the prevailing force. We are the force of righteousness. We're the force of authority and might and dominion. We have the restraining order from God Almighty. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. And God bless America. Amen. And amen and amen. Now, we're getting ready to start our lesson for tonight. It's going to be a great lesson. You're going to love this. It's going to be one of them that we're going to have trouble getting it shut down, because the word's going to be so, it's going to come alive so great with us. But somebody send a notification to Brother Roger where we are, so he has the ability to find us. And anybody else you don't see here, now, don't everybody send one to Sister Phyllis. Remember, she's on a cruise, so she doesn't have any ability to get that. And Sister Phyllis, just for the day, sake of the day, because when you come back, it'll be your birthday. We're all going to sing happy birthday to you tonight. You ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Phyllis. Kay Raymond, happy birthday to you. We're glad you're a part of us, ma'am. We bless you. We bless that trip to be storm-free and beautiful sun and calm water and a wonderful time of being with the family and enjoying the cruise together in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen, and amen. Now, I've been looking forward to this all night long. Copy, click the share button down here on the bottom of your screen on YouTube or on your Blog Talk Radio, and send it to a bunch of people, because this is a message that all of them need to hear. This message is a life-transforming message, because there's a lot of people that have been taught some doctrines that just is going to lead everybody. It's not going to help you. It's going to hurt you. So let's start by opening up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to go here I'm looking saying that's not the right chapter. What did I just say? But no matter how many times you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you will not find what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And what's interesting is I know that it's on this side of the page over here, and I know my underlinings and my circlings, and I'm like, that is not it. What just happened in my Bible? So our first opening is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then 1 Corinthians 15, and then we're going to begin to read the verses in the New Testament only on the word sin. As I was putting this together today, I was reading through them, and in just these verses is more than enough revelation to answer the question, once we are born again, well, will we continue to sin? Well, anybody can sin. Let's get it established right now. If you choose to sin, you will sin. If you choose to live in sin, you will. You will. And I can't stop you, and God can't stop you. It's your choice that you say, wait, I'm going to learn who I am in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, or I'm going to continue in sin. And we got some great, great, great verses on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to start with verse 5 and run through verse 17. Apologize about that, Sunday. You did a good job of putting them in there. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 17. When you get there, hold your Bible up, and let's make our confession about the word together tonight. Hold on just a second. We'll make our confession together. There it is in the middle of your screen. I'll give you just a second to get there. Hold your Bible up. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. Be bold. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. And amen, and amen. Get these apps all on the right screen where we can see them. And tonight's title is Awake to Righteousness. That solves the sin question. I receive the revelation that you have for me tonight, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you have believed? As the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Paul's not saying that Apollos and everybody else was nothing. What he's saying is they're, don't elevate them beyond what they are. Keep reading. Verse 9, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work and I'll add a phrase, of building, will become clear, for the day will declare it. Well, now, what's the day? Notice that that word day is capitalized. That's the day of the Lord, when the judgment seat of Christ, or the great white throne judgment, where everyone who will be judged and then sent to eternal damnation will go. You're going to be in one of the two spots. I'm going to tell you right now, you want to be at the judgment seat of Christ, where your works are tried by fire. Now watch this. 14. For if anyone's works, which he has built on it, endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire, or through fire. 16. Now look at what this says. Do you not know? Or you can change it. You know you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, whose temple you are. Now, you don't have to believe that verse, but that is the Bible. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. Well, but Pastor, that I know that's what God says, but that doesn't, that's not for everybody. That's just for the sinners. No. No. The sinners aren't the temple of God. That verse is for the saint. When they said it doesn't make a difference how you live, it's all under grace, they were a deceiving and a lying, unless, of course, they just didn't know what it was they were saying. I wasn't going to read 18, but let's go there. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present, things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ. And Christ is God. My next verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going down here. First Corinthians 15:33-34. I encourage any of you who are with us tonight that you post questions and different things as we go. Type them right into the comment section or on Zoom or in the live chat over there. And at some point during the program, I'll catch up with those and make sure that I get these answers. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:33-34. Do not be deceived. Evil companions corrupt good habits or good behavior. Do not be deceived, whether they're Christian or sinners. I know some of you are like, man, Pastor, you're just going to start right out tonight. I'm telling you right now, just get yourself ready. I'm going to confront this religious demon that's going to cause a lot of people to miss the rapture who went to church. You've got to stop listening to the voice of the preachers who are not telling you all the truth from God's word. Well, Pastor, how in the world will I know who they are? Study the Bible for yourself, because when you pick this book up and read the verses that are here, then they can't deceive you. And the greatest thing in the world happens to you when you begin to study for yourself. All of a sudden, you'll have studied a bunch of verses, and you'll hear a guy preach, and you'll be like, well, that ain't right. And you'll think, wow, that's a big preacher. And you'll be like, man, that still ain't right. And you'll say, but because of this verse, and that verse. And then you'll be like, oh, Jesus, now what do we do? Well, who knows where he's at in his spiritual walk with it and how he's wrestling with God with that. What we do know is that God is probably working with him if he's still got a public voice. And you and I got to realize, wait a minute, because I studied this book, I was just able to see the truth while that guy was reading the Bible. That's what happens. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John chapter 8. John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. I know sometimes many of us have said, well, Pastor, I'm just not a theologian. How would I ever be able to know? You don't have to be a theologian. You just have to be a reader of the word. Not in 82 chapters in a day, be a reader of some specific verses on specific topics so that you can get yourself established in the foundation of God's holy word. Now, I want to say this from the very beginning of the program, and I meant to say it at the beginning, but I didn't get it said. Let me say this right now. I'll catch up to my notes where I'm supposed to be. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. I'm not going to turn there. I'm going to refer to them. You can put them in the notes if you'd like. Please. John chapter 4, 23 and 24 says that Jesus is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Tonight, you're here because you're seeking to live a life of worship before God Almighty. So remember this fact. From what you have done from this day back, it doesn't matter if you've put it under the blood. The only day that you gotta look at is this one that you're living right now and the one that's coming at you. Why? Because as soon as you're born again, he puts all of that under the blood. Now, the sins that you sinned after you were under the blood, now it's going to come down to, were you being deceived by a shepherd, by somebody teaching you an erroneous doctrine? Were you chasing after God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Were you diligently seeking him every day? Took you a while to get past some of this? Only God can know that question. But the very fact that you're here tonight says that you are diligently seeking God. And we must remember this. Quit worrying about what's behind you in your past. It's under the blood in the past. Now, be very focused on what you're doing today. Because that verse we just read, if you defile the temple, the Lord will destroy you. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Now, let me deal with another doctrine. I see your questions, Mary, and I'll deal with it. The doctrine of once you're saved, you're always saved, is a true doctrine conditionally. I believe that's true. I believe that God has the ability that once you're saved, you'll always be saved. But if you decide to go and sin, you're going to be able to sin. God can't stop you. And it will be considered a sin, and it will bring forth death in your life. And it will break your fellowship with Almighty God. And you will have to repent of that sin. No unrepented sin is allowed in heaven. That's why, awake to righteousness and you won't sin. We just read it. Awake to righteousness and you will not sin. Verse 34. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness, and the New King James says, and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. That word shame doesn't mean shame, shame, shame. It means you will not live the effective life that you're supposed to be living, because God said in Joel chapter 2, my people shall never be put to shame. But for those who don't understand that righteousness is the answer to sin, then it's going to be a weakness. It's going to be something you're going to have to continually fight in your life. Awake to righteousness, and you will never, ever want to sin another day of your life. Well, Pastor, I don't want to sin. I just sin. But that's not what the Bible says. We'll see that in some of these verses. The Bible says you sin when you're drawn away of your own lust. But when you're born again, Jesus makes you a new creation. So that lust was supposed to have died, unless, of course, you bring it back to life. Like Brother Jesse's example, he gives of pulling a coffin around behind you, keeping the old dead man in there, and bringing and having a resurrection and bringing that thing back to life. No, he's dead. He's dead. We'll see that in a couple of verses here in just a little bit. Turn with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So already we have laid the foundation that says a day of judgment is coming. Evil companions, even in church, will corrupt good behavior. And if you wake to righteousness, you will not sin. You'll have no desire for it. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, is talking about studying to show yourself approved. You know what? Let's read down here from 14 through 19. 2 Timothy 14 through 19. It wasn't in my notes, but those are good verses that need to be in this point right here. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Sister Sunday, for your help. Verse 14, 2 Timothy 2, 14 through 19. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers, but be diligent, a worker, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, Paul's saying to Pastor Timothy, teach him to study. Pastor Sam is saying to you tonight, you study to show yourself approved unto God. Because it doesn't matter what I study. It matters what you study. There's a day of judgment coming when you, if you make the judgment seat of Christ, you will stand before Jesus and you will give an account on that day of what you, of how you're living and how, what you did with his word. He is going to ask you how you studied his word. So since you know that, you might as well say, I better get to studying the word now, and God's going to help me be able to study it where I'm at and what I'm doing. No matter what, he's going to be able to help me. See, one of our problems we face is we think, yeah, but the Bible's so confusing, only the theologians can understand it. No, it's not. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And the voice of a shepherd, the voice of a stranger, they won't follow. Well, this is God's voice. This is Jesus' voice right here, the Word of God. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you. How are you going to go astray? See, what that spirit of religion did was indoctrinate people to begin to say, there's just no way you could ever do this. How dare you think that you could actually gain enough understanding not to sin. That's beyond human belief. And it came right out of the mouth of preachers, and it's wrong. It's wrong. Keep reading. I'm in verse 15. Study to show yourself approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There's no suggestions here. This is truth. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Watch this. Verse 18. Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past. And look what the Holy Spirit said through Paul. And they overthrow the faith of some. And who was doing it? Men standing in a pulpit proclaiming what they said was the word of God. And they were overthrowing the faith of some. Now, the people then didn't have the Bible like you and I have. But we have a Bible. And we have a Bible app. And we have Bible websites. And there's no reason any of us walk in any amount of error, except we're just not diligent to study. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his. Look at this phrase. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 19. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You name the name of Christ. Yeah. Then depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. Now, deceiving men. That's why in our opening confession in Ephesians chapter 5, or 4, I have that statement in there. Expose their deceitful plotting, Lord. Why? Because I don't want anybody that knows me to stand in front of Jesus and have Jesus say, depart from me. I never knew you. And they're going to say, yeah, but we cast out demons. We healed the sick. We preached in your name. He's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And Jesus' statement on that is, you workers of iniquity. Why? Because they never knew Jesus. They never knew him. See, let's go now to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at this verse. Because this is what people say cannot happen. This is what preachers say cannot happen. Chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. That means they were in the faith and they will depart. You can't depart unless you're there. Some will depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I will know the truth, and the truth is setting me free. See, nothing that you and I have in our Christian life is because of our ability. Nothing I've said so far tonight has anything to do with my ability as such a perfect specimen of manhood that I don't sin. You have no redemptive force in your flesh. Zero. But as soon as you receive Jesus, you have all the redemptive force that you need. You have no ability to be righteous in your own flesh. That's what the law taught us. Your flesh cannot produce righteousness. There's no righteousness producing factor in your flesh, but Jesus' blood and righteousness, his blood washes away your sin, and his righteousness gives you right standing with God. Now you have the ability to become righteous, not sin. Now, let's say a statement here so that right here at the beginning, because we're going to study this all week long. Watch this. I'm not saying you're not ever going to stay up too late, have a bad dream, fall out of bed and stub your toe. That doesn't have anything to do with righteousness. That has something to do with you didn't go to sleep enough, get enough sleep, and you're stumbling around. That's not the word we're talking about. We're talking about so you don't sin anymore. And I know, I can hear it, and I can hear it in the realm of spirit. You're just saying that we can be perfect and not sin, and there's only one who has that ability, and that's Jesus. Show me that verse. It's not there. I just showed you one verse. It's the first of many tonight that said, when you awake to righteousness, you will not sin. And if you do, it's because you made a choice. And then that verse of scripture says that those who do that after that, it's impossible for them to come back. If you're listening to me tonight, you're not one of those, because you came here on purpose to hear me and to hear the truth. See, we got to get this greater revelation so that we're walking in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Do not be one of those who give heed to seducing and deceiving spirits. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. Now, this is the story. Of the modern day church. Amen. That's awesome, Rebecca. I want you to realize that the Holy Spirit, through Paul, wrote this letter to Pastor Timothy to say to the church. So chapter 3 is about the church. It's not about the world. But know this. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves. This is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul to Pastor Timothy about his church. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, disobedient to parents, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Look at what verse 5 says. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. He is speaking this to church people. From such people, turn away. Now, none of those should be named over the church. But they are in the church, and they're only in the church because they've never received the revelation of the righteousness of God, and they've never gone on into perfection to understand who God is. So, let's keep reading. I'll answer that question in a minute, Mary. Verse 7, they are always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It is time to grow up and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, who are these people? Jannes, Jambres resisted Moses. They resist the truth. They're men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. They will progress no farther, for their folly will be manifest to all, as also was Jannes and Jambres. See, Jesus had to come to be the sin sacrifice. But he was also the righteous example. And he proved to you and I that you could live righteously without sin on this earth as a man. Now, this is the dividing point for many people because they're like, well, no, Jesus wasn't a man. He was God. Jesus laid aside being God to become a man. He made himself of no reputation so that he could be the perfect example that a man anointed by the Holy Spirit could live above sin and walk with God and know the Father and only say what he says and only do what he does and be sinless on this earth. Jesus took on himself man and became a man and made decisions as a man. He was just a man that was anointed by the Holy Spirit. No different than you and me. We will never be God on the throne. We will never be Jesus on the cross, but Jesus gives us all of his righteousness so that we can live above sin. Now watch this. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17. Watch this. See, what's coming to the body of Christ really quick is a very serious revelation that, hold it, I've put all my faith in my pastor. And as long as I follow him, I'm going to be all right. Well, as long as you follow him and you study to show yourself approved, you're going to be all right. But you're not going to be able to stand before Jesus and say, my pastor. Jesus is going to say, no. I sent you a pastor. You listened to him, but you have to have your own relationship with me. You have to have your own understanding of me. I'll say in the beginning, who are Paul and Apollos and Peter? Except men that have trained us in the truth. That's who they are. And they got to build the right foundation. Now watch this. 2 Timothy 3:14. You must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Am I supposed to know that because of Dr. Barclay, I can be solid and strong? Or is it because I can see that he follows Christ and by the leadership and training of the Holy Spirit, I can tell he's teaching me the truth? Because when you just follow a man, if he goes off in the ditch, you'll go right off in the ditch with him. You have to follow. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Keep reading. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, watch this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, proving it again and again till you get it, correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at this statement, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The King James uses the word perfect for the word complete. Go with me real quick. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I can tell you right now, I am going to this week continually push the religious spirit out. I'm driving it out of your life so that you will quit hanging on to religious indoctrinations that are making you weak and making you, putting you on the wrong side of God. I'm not going to stop until we get this. Because we got to go to another place in God, but we can't go there spiritually weak. We've got to go there in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if we don't understand it, then we're going to come up short when we're leading people. Now, Matthew chapter 5, and let's go to, I'll give you these verses, 43 through 48 is the context, but I want us to just stick with verse 48. Jesus said, therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, why would Jesus tell us to do or become something that was impossible? See, he wouldn't do that. He wasn't just saying, well, I know I said it, but joke. He's telling you that it is possible for you and I to be perfect like our Father in heaven. Jesus was perfect like his Father in heaven as a man anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now watch. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, and let's read this verse again. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 through 26 through 31. Got a hair sticking up. I don't like it when that happens. Hebrews 10, 26 through 31. Look at this statement. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. What? I'm reading right out of the B-I-L-E-S. That's the book for me. I want everybody that's listening to me, just please, please stick with me clear to the end. And not just the end of tonight, but the end of this week or next week, however long the Holy Spirit leads us here. Stick with me. I'm only going to read you the Word of God. I do not have a doctrinal book on my table anywhere. I went and got the verses on sin and read them. I went and got the verses on righteousness and read them. Why? Because I don't want no man's doctrine. I want the doctrine that comes from the holy living Word of God. Somebody just said, well, but Pastor, don't you think that's just putting too high of a standard for everybody? Why? Jesus lives on the inside of you. Righteousness lives in here. It's not too high of a standard for you to be the carrier of the righteousness and to understand it because he lives inside of you. This isn't difficult. Keep reading. There's no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. Fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. They stoned him in the street. 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy of who has trampled the Son of God under his foot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, a common thing. It's no big deal. So what? The blood saved my sins. I'll just sin again. Look at this. And insult the Spirit of grace. That's what goes on when you and I sin after we've been born again. Well, I never heard anybody preach this before, Pastor. I know. That should encourage you that tonight you're hearing it, maybe for the first time. Be excited because you're sitting there able to go, wow, I see it. I receive it. Show me how. To those of you that have been very well indoctrinated in these verses, and you're sitting where you are, And you better fast and pray and seek God's face and do everything in your power to repent and turn to God, because this is a pretty serious set of verses. Look at verse 20. Look at 30. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't miss this next statement. And again, the Lord will judge his people. All of a sudden, we're going to be like, wait a minute, man. I better figure out how to read my Bible. I better figure out how to do some of these word studies. And I better get this word down inside of my life, because I can't just go on pastor's righteousness to get into heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't sin. I'm not going to sin. I am not going to sin. I got a revelation of Jesus' righteousness, and that Jesus and his blood and his spirit lives on the inside of me. I will never cross that line and trample the Son of God underfoot. Oh, Jesus. Insult the Spirit of grace. Treat the blood like it's a common thing, that it doesn't matter how I live. I got a revelation. I didn't get an intellectualism. I didn't get a degree. I didn't pass another class and get a certificate. I got a revelation of the Word of God, because I opened this Word and studied it and saw it and said, Jesus, help me see what these verses mean. 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. It's a fearful thing. If you go all the way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that I read at the beginning when we first started, I'm going to tell you right now, based on the religiosity in my life, when I started in the ministry, on Judgment Day, I'm going to have some works that are going to be tried with fire, and they're going to be burned up. There's nothing else that you and I can say today except, I've got some works that when the fire hits it, it's going to be burned up. But thank God that today we see it, and we can take the blood of Jesus and seal that under the blood. Repent of those ways. Turn and go a different way. Live under the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus would not have said, be ye therefore perfect, unless he meant, be ye therefore perfect. Because Jesus didn't say anything except what he heard the Father say. But there's a whole lot of people that doesn't even know those verses even exist in the Bible. And they say, well, you know, Jesus, they'll use Jesus being a man. He was a man. And there's just some things in the Bible that you just can't believe. No, there is not. No, there's not. And there's not one inconsistency from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Take away from it, and God said he's going to add curses to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Or the great white throne judgment. Add to it, and you get curses added to you. No. Study it. Now watch this. I looked up the word perfect in that verse, Matthew 5:48. It means complete. It means completeness. it means.
God bless you.
Come on. Work. It means growth in your spirit and in your moral character. It means perfect. It means consummate human integrity and virtue. Full grown, adult, of full age, mature. In the American Standard Version, it says perfect. In the Bible for Better English, it says, be then complete in righteousness. The Contemporary English Version says, you must always act like your father. That matches Ephesians 5:1, where it says, as well-beloved children, imitate your father. Well, he's perfect. See, where the preachers have led us astray is that they said, nobody can be perfect. Well, no, wait. If the word that they mean is nobody can live without ever bumping your head, shutting your finger in the door, you know, poking yourself with a knife while you're paring a tomato or a potato, then you're right on that statement. But if you mean perfect and live above sin, they're wrong. Because Jesus' blood and righteousness was not in vain. Jesus' blood and righteousness wipes away every sin, throws it in the sea of his forgetfulness, and then he fills you with his righteousness. And according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now see, if your word perfect that you're using, Mr. Preacher, is, well, you're still going to every now and then have a bad day and have a few frustrations. No, that's a fiery dart of the enemy. Everybody's going to fight that. Everybody. But when it comes to Jesus' words, he wasn't talking about you got to be perfect like your father and not ever have anything of weakness that's ever going to happen in your life. You live on this earth, but you don't have to sin. Paul said, awake to righteousness and do not sin. He was speaking by the Holy Spirit, or writing by the Holy Spirit as a scribe. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. And some do not have the knowledge of God. They have the knowledge of the Baptists, the Methodists, the Charismatics, or the Pentecostals. You better put that book away. And you better open this one. Because that book could cause you to miss heaven. And you don't want that. Going to be a lot of freaked out, scared Christians on the moment after the rapture. Let just a little silence come in here. See, you and I don't have to, once we're born again, we don't have to be worried about all the stuff that everybody else does. Why? Because we're filled with his righteousness. Hey, but Pastor, what if I just have to have it, if I just have to sin? Then you don't have the revelation that you received his righteousness. And that he wiped away every sin. You have been born again. You're either going to believe the Bible or you're going to call it a book that you might want to read and you might not. No. The transformation power of God will take the worst criminal and turn him into the godly man of God who will preach. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest men in the last 200 years to live on this earth. Mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. He was a drunk plumber till he was like 55 years old. And his wife kept saying, You're going to preach the gospel, Smith. You're going to preach the gospel, Smith. You're going to preach the gospel, Smith. And she said, if you come home again drunk, you can sit out on the porch all night. And he came home drunk, and out he was. Who would get on the train with him after he got a revelation of who God was and the righteousness of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And they would fall down on the train next to him, and they would say, man, you caused me to repent of my sin right there. Not because he was saying, you wicked sinner, because he lived in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus to such a severe degree that just being in his presence, they knew they were sinners and repented of their sin. A man on this earth who lived a life as a drunk plumber. And if you don't know what drunk plumbers are like, well, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to talk about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The most vile people have been born again, and their lives were transformed forever. And in the matter of a couple of months, you couldn't even tell who they were. It's like, I don't know who that guy is. He used to be like that, but that sure ain't the same guy. Why? Because the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus made a total and complete change on the inside of him. Now watch this. The Father is seeking those to worship him, live a life of walking with him every day. Every day. The word perfect that we just read down there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, is a word that means you've come to maturity and perfection. Do you know that when you're born again, the first day that God makes you perfect? But then the next day, he leads you to the next step in your righteousness. And the next step in your righteousness, and the whole time you're right with God because you're walking in the paths of righteousness and you're saying, yes, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, help me. Yes, Lord, help me. And the day you get this revelation of you receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it transforms the whole Bible. And it makes it this most amazing guidebook to lead you to the kingdom of heaven and take everybody with you that there is. Take everybody with you. And it's all based on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to see this. Hebrews 11:6 says that he rewards those who diligently seek him. I have a question for all of you tonight. Are you diligently seeking him? If you are, click your unmuter and say, I'm diligently seeking him.
I'm diligently seeking him.
You are.
Absolutely.
See, what we've got to come to is we got to get this revelation deep inside of us that says, hold it. I am diligently seeking everything that God shows me, and I will walk in that path no matter what. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. This is the foundation of this teaching. All of these verses are the foundation verses. I am not going to take one verse of scripture and say this is our foundation verse. I'm just not going to do it. Because you cannot have a foundation of the most important force of your life, righteousness. You can't build that on one verse and one verse of foundation. You got to build a depth, deep, solid foundation in your life. So the next set of verses we're going to is Philippians chapter 3. Now watch what the Apostle Paul said by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3, and let's start with verse 3. And we'll run down through verse 21. Well, like I say to you all the time, I'm not going to give you one verse and then say there, believe it. I want you to see the truth of God's word. Watch this. This is a powerful set of verses. Verse 3. Paul's going to teach you and I how to grow and develop in God right here. And we're going to see the righteousness of faith. For we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Although I have confidence in the flesh, if anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. I was of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. The righteousness in the law. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for the cross of Christ. See, all of that was Paul's human earthly process of studying this book to do it. But watch what he says now in verse 8. I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. Well, where's Christ? He's going to come and live on the inside of you. One of the first verses, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God said, he's going to judge those who destroy the temple, that I might gain Christ. Look at 9. And be found in him. Well, if you're found in Jesus, you're found in his righteousness. And if you're found in Jesus and in his righteousness, guess what? You are living in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 9, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. By faith, you receive Jesus into your life. And when you do, then you're born again. And in our prayer, I teach you to say, I receive all of your grace, mercy, love, and righteousness. Because that's what's happening to you. That's what you need, is his righteousness. Look what Paul said. And be, verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Verse 10, that I might know him. See, the difference is this is not a religious indoctrination. It's not. This isn't a religious denominational book. This is the doctrine of the Word of God, of who God is in every one of our lives. And what did Paul just say? I don't want my own righteousness. It's of the law. It doesn't have any strength. The righteousness of that law didn't set them free from sin. They still had to sacrifice. They still had to have the Day of Atonement. And every one of them who were certain to obey all 613 laws. We're very prideful, arrogant people. Why? Because they can brag about it. I keep them all. I even tithe the salt in my salt shaker, and that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his dead, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. 12. Now look what Paul said. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, as in the last day you're going to be on this earth, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as having apprehended or reached the position of complete accomplishment. Well, Pastor, you sound like you've reached that. Oh, no, I have not. But I am perfect today because Jesus said you can be perfect. I guarantee you I'm reaching for everything he's shown me to reach for. I'm doing everything I know to do. And today, I'm reaching for more. Look at what Paul said. This one thing I do. Now, thank you, Holy Spirit. Forgetting those things which are behind me, reaching forward to those things which are before me, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. Mature meaning grown up. Accepted responsibility for your actions in your life. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Therefore, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. 17. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. But don't follow a guy into the ditch. Read the word. Watch. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Paul is saying it right there. Whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Now watch this. What is Paul saying? Everything I accomplished in my own strength is rubbish. It's all rubbish. Verse 9. That I be found in not having my own righteousness, which is going to be of the flesh. Because our attempt to be righteous will always fall short because we don't have any ability to produce righteousness. How are you going to do it? Well, by Jesus' blood is how you do it, Pastor. That's right. And Jesus' blood is perfect. And his righteousness is perfect. And you are made into the righteousness of God. I remind you of those verses in Hebrews that says, how much worse punishment do you suppose that we'll be thought worthy of when we trample underfoot the Son of God? by sinning. And we count the blood of the covenant common that washed us. And we insult the spirit of grace. No, get the revelation that it's the righteousness of God, and you get to just receive it. And it's Jesus' righteousness that he paid the ultimate price for. And it's perfect, and it's holy. And that's what you get to have. That's what you get to have. You and I have been made a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Somebody shout, I have been made a new creation. Look at what this says. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. Does the word all mean? It just means all. It just means all. Hey, but Pastor, are you saying that everything has been made new in me? Yeah. Yeah, but what if I still like to do that? That's sin. That's sin. Crush it. Crush it with the blood of Jesus. As soon as you're made a new creation, your assignment from that day forward is to renew your mind to match this book. And God's going to send you to a church, a gathering of believers, an ecclesia, his governing body of authority on the earth, like this one. And then he's going to give me a plan. He's going to give that leader a plan. And he's going to send us down a path that causes us to grow in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And every step of the way, you're perfect. But you got to chase his righteousness. Yeah, but Pastor, I'm still sinning. I know. I know. Second? Well, let's read this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin for us, or to be the sin sacrifice for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. See, that's what Paul was saying in Philippians, and that's what he's saying right here. You become the righteousness. People are like, well, that's just impossible. How in the world is that going to happen? Because Jesus' blood washed away all your sins, made you white as snow. And as soon as you're white as snow, he gave you his righteousness. He gave you his robe of righteousness of the former sins. And makes you in right standing with God, righteousness, the act of being right with God. Now watch. Second Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I would never do that. Well, but you know what happens is if we're not careful, we'll say, but I still sin every day in word, thought, and deed, Pastor. And that's frustrating the grace of God. That's insulting the grace of God, the Spirit of grace that has made you righteous. Oh, Pastor, why are you teaching me this doctrine? Because I got to get you up to it. I got to get you up to it. Another verse of scripture in the New Testament is the verse that says, do not frustrate the grace of God. Frustrate. Nobody tell me how to spell it. I want to find that verse. Do not frustrate the grace of God.
Frustrate.
There it is.
Yeah.
Second, or Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And this is a perfect verse. Thank you, Jesus. Let's do Galatians 2, 15 through 21. Wow. Galatians 2, 15 through 21. Goodness sakes alive. Woo! When I fell off the creek bed and went right down in the creek. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. It doesn't matter if they've told you to put your hair up and don't wear any makeup. It's always the women that's got the problem. Wear long sleeves and a long dress. Something about you women, you just got to get your act together. That's all works of the law. You're not justified by that. That doesn't give you no righteousness. People are like, woo! This is a trip today, Pastor. Yeah, it is. Watch it. 17. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found to be sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. See, when you got born again, all of that was destroyed. All of it was wiped away. And Paul's saying, you're the one that's building the back. Now wait, I don't want anybody to be condemned because it's all based in the revelation of the knowledge of the truth of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that you get by faith. Keep reading. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. Watching. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, my actions, then Christ died in vain. The life I now live in the flesh, that's this stuff, in this body, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God, by the righteousness of the Son of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. And he said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And Hebrews chapter 10 says, insult the grace of God, that God caused Jesus to pay such a severe price, but it wasn't enough to make it so you could live above sin. That's insulting the Spirit of grace. That insults the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's enough to get you born again, but it's not enough to keep you from sinning. Human indoctrination that we've got to force it to submit to this word of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. He just believed him. And it was counted to him for righteousness. You and I, by an act of our will, said, Jesus, I see that I need to receive you. And you do. And then you get that amazing experience of God Almighty filling every part of your being. And some people are like, wow, that's a rush. One guy told me, that's the greatest high I've ever had. Can I have it again? I'm like, dude, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit every single day to that level. He's like, give it to me. I laid hands on him in a matter of seconds. He was praying in the Holy Ghost. Going, woo, woo, woo. Why? Because he opened up to receive God who he was. Now, we got to get the mind renewed to this word. And you got to stop listening to so many preachers from so many different walks of life and get your nose in this book and get yourself here and listen to these messages, because the Holy Spirit is leading us into the promised land, but he's got to get us into this, into the life of righteousness. Psalm 23. He leads us into the paths of righteousness, but it's no big deal if you sin when you're there. See, that doesn't make sense. It says, he leads us into the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Thank you, Sunday. For his name's sake. Now, I've told you the story before of being in the garden in Kentucky picking tomatoes. So I'm going to tell you that story again. While we're going there, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 10 through 20. I'm picking tomatoes. It's a big patch, probably 2 or 3 acres, 2 acres, I guess. Huge, a lot of tomatoes. But the faculty and staff there were living by faith, as the statement goes, and therefore they were not all paid salaries, and they had families and stuff, and so they had a big, huge garden, and they could eat all of the garden and all the food supplied and their electricity. So anyways, So I'm down there picking tomatoes one day in the summertime all by myself. And, you know, it's a pretty cool experience down there. Got my farm all seed, my little wagon, you know, and about, I don't know, 5-gallon buckets. And I'm picking the ripe, big old ripe tomatoes, beautiful tomatoes. And I grab my bucket and take it back and sit it in there and get it empty and come back. And I kneel down and I'm picking tomatoes and I look up. And up above the tomato plant, there's a black snake looking at me. And, you know, the tomato plant's like this, and he's looking over this the plant at me like that. And, you know, I don't know who ran farther away, me or the snake, because I'm pretty sure I screamed all the way to the edge of the garden. I don't know where he went. And it was, you know, they weren't poisonous. Everybody liked the black snake because they would eat other snakes. But the reason I'm telling that story is this. Your garden is your garden. Your life is a garden. Paul said, you are the field of God. You're the building of God. We read it earlier. And you can allow anything you want in your garden. Any plant, any animal, any rodent. But if you don't want it there, it's your garden. You're the one that's got to get it out. And I guarantee you that snake was a long ways from being in that garden with me after that day, because I made enough noise getting away from him that he probably said, that don't even sound like a Kentucky person. I don't know where that guy's from. He might beat the fire out of me, you know. You and I got to get the snakes out of our life. Now God, through Jesus, his blood, his righteousness, the power of the Holy Spirit, has given us all the power. He's given us his word, but we must do the work of saying, hold it. I got to get rid of that thought, and that thought, because that is not matching this word that I'm receiving tonight. Now, in no way am I, in any sense of the word, condemning anybody for anything that's happening in your life. As you've noticed tonight, I've not talked about a whole bunch of sins, except what was read out of the verses that the Holy Spirit led me to. I know this by where God's taken us in this study, that you and I've got to open up our hearts. Jesus said, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's been given to you to know the mystery. So if this is a mystery to you, you and I got to say, wait, Jesus told me I would know this mystery. It's one of the greatest mysteries that the church has never figured out, because you can't figure it out. You got to study until you get the revelation of the word of God that says you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Just receive it. And then realize I get to walk in righteousness and overpower every sin in my life with his righteousness, and because of the blood, because I just received him into my life. And because I received him, it's the righteousness of faith. And because I used faith, that makes that righteousness activated. And now I've got all the righteousness I need now. Why? Because it's the righteousness of faith that came from Jesus, and it was perfect for him. And when you're born again, you become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You now get to be just like Christ. In John chapter 17, Jesus prayed on the last night at the Last Supper, and he said that they may be one as we are one. He's not talking about someday in the future. He's talking about right here on this earth where you and I are right here, right now. Matthew chapter 15, verse 10. He called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth that defiles a man. His disciples came and said to him, did you know that offended the Pharisees? After they heard that, Jesus said, he didn't say that. Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, then both will fall in the ditch. Peter said, tell us this parable. Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and it comes out the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now, Jesus' statement in verse 13 is, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted. It will be uprooted. Let me grab a verse here. I like that thought process that says every plant that he didn't plant, he is going to uproot. I really like that thought because in our lives, there are a whole bunch of things that have been planted into our lives that God said he's going to uproot them. Now watch this. John chapter 5, and this will be our last verse for tonight. And for those who might be studying John 5, 1 through 19. John 5, 1 through 19. And watch this. I'm just going to tell you the story and then grab one verse. This is a story of the man healing at the pool on the Sabbath, pool of Bethesda. You remember Jesus walked in there, saw all the sick person and only healed one. And told him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. But now watch this. Verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto you. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Do you remember what Jesus said to the woman taken in adultery? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Well, that is really mean and wicked of Jesus to tell them to go and sin no more if they can't do it. See, all of a sudden, what's going on is you and I got to look at these verses and say, hold on. What is the truth behind this? Jesus told that man, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And something in what Jesus did to him, gave him that ability. The woman taken in the act of adultery, he said, where are your accusers? She said, there are none. He said, then go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. It would be wrong for Jesus to have said that. And it's not possible in the acts of your own flesh. It's not possible. Because your flesh has no redemptive factor in it. But Jesus' blood and righteousness that you receive at the new birth has all of the redemptive factor that you need. We just got to get the erroneous teaching out of you that says, Pastor, you're just going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed. You might as well just admit it. That's what's going to happen. And that's what everybody does. Nobody's perfect. We're all just sinners. No. You're either a sinner and you need to be born again, or you're a saint that has been born again. There's only two kinds of them folk in the New Testament. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
See, as you've noticed tonight, I've not said anybody's names. I've not named one preacher and said, this is the guy that's preaching it, and you better not listen to him. I'm not that person. I'm not his master. He will rise and fall to his own master. I'm standing here saying, know this book so that none of us preachers take you down a wrong path. Hold it. I don't want to take you down a wrong path. I've had quite a few people since we started this at God. Called me, texted me, emailed me, said, Pastor, you said this. What about this, 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 and this? And I'll call you on the phone and say, all right, let's talk about that. Tell me what you see. And then we'll begin to work it. And I hear your thought process and your thought process. It's like, wow, oh, yeah. And then what are we going to do? I'm not going to tell you, well, like I always believe. I'm going to say, what does the Bible say? Because you don't have to believe what I say. Because you ain't going to be judged by me on Judgment Day. You will be judged by this book. The most righteous judgment that there can be will come from this book. And you and I are on this side of glory and can now find an app that works on your phone. Find a book that you can use. Find a website you can go to and begin to study to show yourself approved to God. You don't have to worry about me or anybody else. Show yourself approved to God. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Why? Because you've studied and you see it. And you can not only say that verse, but that one. Anytime you tell somebody, I don't know where that verse is, don't say that. Say, just a minute, let me find that verse. Open up your phone. Your K-12 education was not so you would get a 99 and a diploma, a 4.0 grade point average. Your K-12 education was to teach you to read, write, arithmetic, and figure out how to use what's in your hand to get the answer that you need. It ain't about whether you get an A or a B, or you can stand up in front of the classroom and talk. They did wrong to so many people when they did that because they weren't ready. And forcing them didn't make them ready. It hurt them. No. You've lived your whole life and become successful. And it wasn't because you got an A on a book report. So you know where to find the answers, because every one of us do. That's the most important thing. The number one characteristic of any powerful believer is they have a teachable spirit. And they walk with God. The 23rd Psalm says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Let me give you one more verse. I got to give you this one. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled with pickles and onions. No. You will be filled with righteousness. What are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? Because Jesus promises, when you hunger and thirst, you will be filled. Brother Roger, I missed your great amen all night long. But I bless you wherever you were, taking care of them grandkids or whatever you had going. Amen, Rebecca. I love the word. And I hunger and I thirst for righteousness. And guess what? I am filled with righteousness.
Amen.
Wow. Let's pray. And then we'll receive communion. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that your word is filled, it's full of understanding on righteousness. Thank you. We receive it. And as you lead us into the paths of righteousness, we walk there every day. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I speak over every person tonight, every single person who's here tonight, no matter who they are or where they come from, no matter what, that confidence comes to them, not discouragement, not confusion. I declare that the revelation of Almighty God fills every part of their life. And just like you said to the woman taken in adultery and the man laying there, and probably to so many other people, go and sin no more. Oh, Jesus, we just thank you right now that our lives are filled with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because we hunger and thirst after you today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, let's receive communion. This is one of the greatest, most powerful forces that you'll ever receive in your Christian life. Give me just a second. I got to grab my elements here. This is one of the most powerful forces that you'll ever receive in your Christian life right here is the communion elements. Prayer. And it amazes me how many churches say, if you've sinned, I mean, I was in one church one time. They're like, if you've sinned, literally the man said this, if you've sinned, we're about to receive communion, so it's time for you to get up and leave now, because you don't want to be in this building if you've sinned, because you will drink to yourself damnation. And the very answer for the person who had sinned was in that building and these communion elements, and the man made them run from the very answer that they needed in their life. Wow, 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 wow. That is so wrong. Because what did they say? What did Jesus say? Let a man, or Paul, the Holy Spirit said it through Paul, let a man examine himself. Well, that person just did. I sinned. Well, good. Come to church, get these communion elements, pray the prayer of salvation, and get yourself right with God. Just mom. It's all right. It's all right. He's a ferocious watchdog. He's protecting me during communion. You ready? This is how this works here. Oh, we're going to read the, I'm going to read the verses on communion Apostle Paul gave us in, by the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians. Then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. Then I'm going to give you about 2 minutes of instruction, but we've had a whole night of instruction. So I'm probably not going to give you 2 minutes. And then we'll bless the elements and receive it together. That's how we do it here, by the direction of the Holy Spirit, since we've been here, coming here to do this. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also give to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. My wonderful wife's here.
Just in time for communion.
Let a man examine himself and his wife and see if she's in the Lord. Verse 27, 28. Let a man examine himself. I want you to open your Bible and see these verses. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Why would a church say, stay away from, one guy literally said, stay away from the building. You don't want to get, you don't want to be anywhere close if you've sinned.
My goodness, where did they get that from?
I heard that with my own 2 ears. I know a lady that was tormented her whole life because she felt like she sinned once as a kid and took communion when she had sinned and felt like she was damned by God her whole life. Total, complete, erroneous doctrine. Oh, my goodness. Help me, Jesus. Just read the word. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Sister Sunday's got the verses up there. I am so loving this study that we're in that I got another 100 verses that we can go through tonight if you want to stay for another 4 hours. We're done, don't worry. John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of trouble. I hope you see me as being very bold tonight as I'm teaching this. Because I mean to be bold. What? The righteous not the self-righteous. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Verse, because as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is righteous, the head. We must be righteous in order to be his body. How could Jesus' head be righteous, but the body not be righteous? Can't happen. There is no fear in love. Perfect love cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. We love him because he first loved us. Let's pray the prayer of salvation. Jesus, amen. Woo! You ready? Pray this with me. No matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what's happened in your life, when you finish this prayer, if you mean it from the depths of your heart, you will be right with God. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life
every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and I
life.
Will not perish.
And I will not.
Now here's your chance. Make a bold declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Now do this. Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your love and your mercy.
All of your grace
and your righteousness.
All of your grace.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit. So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God. Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family of God. If you could listen to this whole program, and when we get done, not get born again, man, you got to get yourself chasing after God. Because we have done laid out the plan of salvation tonight in many different manners.
Amen.
What just happened, everything we just taught you. Jesus just came in and filled you. His blood washed you white as snow through all your sins in the sea of his forgetfulness. And then he filled you with his righteousness.
Hallelujah.
You'll never be the same.
Hallelujah.
Remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. With what? Well, you're hungering after righteousness. So what will you be filled with? Righteousness. If you are filled with righteousness, where is there any room left for sin? There's not. Your nature has now been changed. We're going to study that tomorrow night. Oh, y'all get here early because I'm starting early. I want plenty of time to lay this out. Anyways, Jesus help me. Welcome to the family of God. This is what we're here for. Make sure you click like, love, like, subscribe, and hit the bell so you're notified every time we come on. And we'll help you walk with God every single day. Hey, Gail Blunt, welcome. Good to have you here. We're glad you got off early tonight. Well, maybe. I don't know. Maybe you need the money. But in Jesus' mighty name, bless you, man. Good to see you, Gail.
It is good to see you here.
Now,
I don't see you yet. But.
Now, watch this. From this day forward, what do you do to walk with God? Just walk with him. Wake up in the morning. At the beginning of your day, say, Jesus, help me walk with you. And he will. He's living in here. Literally, he came to live within you. And then, all day long, welcome him into every room you go into. Learn to be completely, totally, 24/7 aware that God is with you. You wake up in the night. Oh, hi, God. Hi, Father. Jesus. Just start talking to him. Pastor, that's just weird. No, it's not. It's becoming one with those, with the force that's in you. Oh, I'm just preaching tonight. You ready? We're here to help you. You can ask me any question. It doesn't matter if it's been asked 10,000 times. Ask it again. It'll help somebody else. Well, that's where this whole series came from, is because somebody asked me a question last week about what effect does it have on Jesus when we sin? A serious effect. It's very serious. You ready? Let's receive the communion elements. I'll just keep going. If I had Brother Roger and Sister Phyllis here saying, 4 more hours, we might make it tonight.
Where's Roger?
Uh-huh. Probably taking care of his grandkids. That's usually where he is. Mm-hmm. I love it. Ready? Let's bless our elements. Say this with me. I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
You were bruised for my iniquities.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
And by your stripes I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
From your broken body, Jesus.
From your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my
community. And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen and amen and amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Ha! Isn't that something? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you endured the cross, despised the shame, and you called it joy that you might have us. We lift up a cup of blessing. Every one of these statements we make are verse of scripture. The Holy Spirit led me to say it like this so that we get ourselves established in what the blood does in our life. Listen to what we're saying and speak it with us. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed.
Bought back from the life of sin.
Bought back from the life of sin.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
By the blood of Jesus, I am a new creation.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
Old things have passed away and all things have become new.
And what's the definition of all?
All.
All. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of God.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of God.
Who is my Father?
Who is my Father?
And I am welcome there.
And I am welcome.
And I receive grace, mercy, and help.
And I receive grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment on this earth every day.
For my assignment on this earth every day.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome every day.
I overcome every day.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
By the blood of Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever.
And there is no more condemnation in my life.
And there's no more condemnation in my life.
I like this one. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over.
By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass
over. And cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
You want to do a little work? Get off my family, plagues.
Get off my family, plagues.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's receive his blood shed for our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing a song we like to sing. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to your name. Wow. What a night. Well, let's do it. I'll just keep talking, so I'm going to just stop because we've been here long enough tonight. Sister Phyllis isn't with us. So I guess I'm going to have to read the verses myself. But you, beloved, Jude verses 20 through 25, but you, beloved, you, right there, you, building up yourself in your most holy faith. That's a pretty good faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit, your heavenly language. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's pretty cool. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. On some have compassion, and it's important to make a distinction. Look what it says. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling. He's able. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And all of that should be seen in your life every day because you're the body of Christ.
Amen.
Chapter, turn the page, Revelation 1, 5 and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Have a wonderful night to you too, Rebecca. Sister Gail, love you. Sister Sunday, love you. All y'all that's been clicking on, I've been watching the numbers go up and down on YouTube all night. God bless you. All of our friends over here in Blog Talk Radio all over the world. Tell everybody about this. Tomorrow night, we're going to begin the New Testament and read every verse in the New Testament that has the word sin in it. We're going to read every one of them. Why? Because then nobody's looking at me saying, oh, this is your doctrine, Pastor. Ha-ha. It's going to be the doctrine of the New Testament, and it's going to be a good thing. You're going to love it. So make sure you're here. And if nothing else, then get back here tomorrow, or, you know, just go back. It'll be in the playlist, so you'll be able to find it on YouTube. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands out. Say it with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
I sow my time, talent, and treasure.
So that every person who came here tonight.
So that every person that came here tonight.
Will know you.
Will know you.
And they'll receive this message of faith.
And they'll receive this message of
faith. And the revelation of your righteousness.
And the revelation of your righteousness. Amen.
I receive my hundredfold return.
I receive my hundredfold return.
For being faithful to make this happen.
For being faithful to make this happen.
So we can preach the gospel.
So we can preach the gospel.
Right here and around the world.
Right here and around the world.
Wherever you send us.
Wherever you send
us. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Brother Dan, you got anything else to say? Find the mute button. No. Till we see you again, this is what we say. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus
is Lord.
See you soon.